Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
But let's turn to the 145th division of Psalm, the third verse. And I'm reading the NLT, but if I didn't read the NLT, you would recognize the verse a little quicker. It's, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." But the NLT version says it like this: "Great is the Lord, he is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness." And I've made this point every time I've read this verse. It doesn't say that we don't try to measure his greatness. It just says that if you try, you will come short, because however big you think God is, he's bigger. However powerful you think God is, he's more powerful. However great you think he is greater than that. "Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Jesus is greater than you and I could ever imagine." Now turn to your second choice neighbor and just tell him, "Believe that." Praise God. You may be seated. This is our final message in the series. Great. Great confession. Great calling. Great commandment. And now today we will dive in just a few moments into the great commission. In Psalm 145, this is a psalm of praise. It is a moment where David has called the entirety of Israel together. And in my mind, he is standing on a high place and he is extolling the virtues of God. Can I encourage you? Never grow tired of telling people how great God is. Even if they don't believe it, don't let that quiet you down. Even if they don't agree with it. And we should be the same way about God as we are with our kids. We talk about our kids. No one cares about our kids like we care. Oh, they're the greatest. They're really not the greatest. We just say that, well, my two really are the greatest. Let me fix that. But we talk about how good looking they are, how popular they are, how influential they are, how talented they are. And, oh, they're doing this on the football field, and they're doing this on the, and then we go watch them, and they don't even get in the game. But boy, they look good. So even if people don't agree with it, it should not quiet our praise and quiet our testimony of the goodness of God. And in Psalm 145, we talked about the five things that David deals with: God's greatness, God's goodness, God's glory, God's guarantee, and God's grace. And then we went right into the four great examples of God's greatness and what a great God now puts a great greatness or a great responsibility on us. Number one is the great confession. There is no great calling or commandments or commission until we make the great confession. In Matthew 16, we see Jesus talking to his disciples and he says, "Whom do men say that I am?" We have preached that, and then he turns the tables and said, "Okay, that's what they say, but who do you say?" Because at the end of your life, church, you're not going to stand before God and him ask, "What did Living Way say about me?" You're not going to hear, "What did your pastor, your parents, your BFF, what did they think about me?" You and I are going to stand before God as an audience of one, in front of one, and he is going to either say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," not "Well done, thou good and faithful church or group or ministry," "Well done, thou good and faithful." And so the great confession is what Simon said at that moment: "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Great confession leads to great calling. Great calling is when God calls us close, gives us a task, but he calls us first close, because how many of you know before God sends you, he needs to fix you? And before God sends me out, he's got to heal me, because if not, you've heard the expression, if you don't heal before you are sent, you're going to bleed all over people that didn't hurt you. And you do people a disservice, or more of a disservice than you do helping them. And so God will call us to send us, but between the calling and the sending, there has to be a transformation. Then we went to the great commandment, because a great confession leads to a great calling, which leads to the great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Great confession is made for believers, and we are believers, praise God. Great calling is answered by followers, and hopefully We are followers in this room today. See, I think almost everybody in the room or online today, we could classify ourselves as believers. Because unless your mom or your wife made you come to church today, you believed enough to wake up, even if you had to hit snooze 3 or 4 times. You woke up and you got to the house because in some way, some form, some fashion, there is a belief in God and a belief in Jesus Christ. But the great calling is not answered by mere believers. The great calling is answered by followers. People that have chosen calling over comfort. After we have said yes to following Jesus, we now say yes to the great commandment, which is demonstrated by disciples. I want to be a believer, but believer leads us to become followers, and a disciplined follower or a disciplined believer is what we call a disciple. It is a believer and follower that actually lives a life of discipline. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to act this way. I'm not going to react this way. Am I talking to somebody today? You know, the Bible does say that when we come to Christ, we are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so that requires us to live different, praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Praise God. Our love for God is not proven by what we say, it is proven by what we do. Don't say it, show it. Don't tell me, show me. James 2:18 says, yea, a man says, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, but I will show you my faith by my works. You can't see my faith, but you can see what my faith causes me to do. See, love is abstract. It is not a concrete noun. Joy is not concrete. Peace is not concrete. Those are abstract things that God gives us. But you can see in my life peace at work. You can see in your life joy at work. When we read James 2 in the proper context, he says, so you have faith. Remember James 2 verse 19, he says, you believe there is one God, that's good. You do well, but also the devils believe and tremble. So what James is actually saying is, so you have faith, that's good for you. So does the devil. Demons tremble, not because of fear only. They tremble because of the greatness of God. Remember, the demons that tremble today in the presence of God are the same demons that thousands of years ago, millennia ago, stood in the presence of God as angels and sang his praise. So they don't just tremble because of fear. They have a physiological response because they are standing in the greatness of God. And when God shows up with all of who he is, and when God demonstrates his power, the angel, what used to be angels that are now demons in hell, tremble because they say, I remember the greatness of God. So I left you with this question last week, church. If the devil trembles, and the demons have faith and they tremble, and they remember and recall the greatness of God, and it causes them to shake and quake. If the devils have that response, why do we as believers, why do we not have that response? Why is it that 25 minutes ago when we were singing Lean Back and worship was going, why is it that we can stand there and not, you know how hard it is when this team is worshiping and praying? You know how hard it is to physically stand still? Like, that's crazy, y'all. Like, we should at least be bobbing our heads or moving to the left and right. For you to be able to just stand there when all of this is going on, that is a decision that I'm not going to allow what God is doing to affect me. Even the demons tremble. That gets us great confession, to great calling, to great commandment. Let's talk about the Great Commission. The word commission is only used in the Bible twice, and it's used both times in the Old Testament. What we call the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus does not call it the Great Commission. It is the Great Commission because of what Jesus says. Commission defined is simply this, church. It is the authority granted for a particular action or function. Meaning this, that the only reason God gives authority to believers is for a purpose. So if you're not going to walk out and live out your purpose, don't ask for authority. If you're not going to live out and walk out your purpose, you don't need authority and you don't need the anointing. The anointing covers me and protects me and makes me full of the Spirit of God and covers me with the presence of God. And the authority that God gives us as believers is so not that we can live a blessed life, but that we can fulfill the high calling that God has placed in and on our lives. Can I encourage you? You might work a job, but your J-O-B is not your purpose. What you get money for is not your creative plan. Listen, you might do that to make money, to provide a life for your family, but can I tell you and remind you that who you are and what you do is not the same thing, that God has put authority in you, God has put anointing on you to do something that only you can do when He gets involved. It is the authority granted for a particular action or function. Every once in a while, we have people that ask us, how do you become a licensed minister? Now, that's a loaded question, because you can get online today, and for $44.95, you can get licensed. And the state can give you the authority to officiate a wedding. But I just need to remind you that your help does not come from the state. That the state is not going to be there when you're battling devils. And the state is, we can't hardly get the state to promise us Social Security for the next 50 years. And you think they're going to step in and help you when you're fighting devils and you're fighting cancers and you're doing your best to step into the fullness of what God has called you to do? And so when you talk about being licensed, number one, I need to know, what are you being licensed for? Why? Why are you being licensed? And so most of the time, these institutions, even on the Christian side of things, they no longer license people, but they commission people. Meaning that as an organization, we are investing authority, and we will stand behind you that you are going to act, that you are going to live, and that you are going to do what you said you are called to do. Can I encourage you, more than a denomination, more than the backing of a church like Living Way, you should be grateful that God, as big as He is, as much as He knows about my past and my mess and my weaknesses and liabilities, I'm thankful that in September of 2024, with all the mess that I've been through and some of the same devils that I'm fighting today, that God Himself says, Brandon, I have commissioned you. I put authority in you, but I am standing behind you every step of the way to make sure that you do what you said you're going to do, that you're going to operate with the anointing, operate with the authority, not in ways to manipulate or lord over somebody, but praise God so that you can fulfill your God-given creative purpose. Listen to this, church. It's been a long time since I've gone down this road, but I want to encourage you. You could have been born in any time period. You could have been born on any state, any country, but God said, I'm going to make sure that they're born in 2024. If God made sure that you're going to be born in this generation, if God made sure that you're going to be born to the family you were born into, don't you know that God's got a plan that is bigger than any of us even realize? But I want to encourage you. He's commissioned you. He's given you His authority. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. I want to read these five verses for context before we break some things down. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some of them doubted. I've been there before. Verse 18, Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Here comes the commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a good place to say amen. On Wednesday night, we finished our series In His Words. And we took six key phrases that Jesus said, because there's a whole lot of people that like to start these threads on social media about what would Jesus say if He were alive today. I know what Jesus would say because I know what He said, and He never changes. Well, what would Jesus do? I know what Jesus would do because I know what Jesus did, and He never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says that. But this is what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Somebody turn to your neighbor and just tell them, you need to rest. Tell them, slow your roll. Tell them, calm down. No, don't tell them, calm down. That'll get you into a fight if you're married. Those two words, don't ever say them. Calm down. You're throwing gasoline on the fire. It has the exact opposite result of that which you think it's going to produce. But I love this. Check this out, church. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me. Matthew 28, Jesus says, go from me. First he invites people in, then he sends them out. Jesus makes this invitation, come unto me. Write this down if you're taking notes. Jesus' invitation, whether we're talking about the Great Commission invitation or any invitation Jesus gives, Jesus' invitation leads to your destination. You cannot get to where you're going unless you are operating not for Jesus, from Jesus. I'm literally moving from my relationship and the presence of the Lord. That is why we can't get, church, the cart before the horse. We have too many people trying to get to their destination and they've never accepted the invitation. Don't show up at the wedding until you've been RSVP. Don't show up at places you were uninvited, because if you show up places you were uninvited, you are not going to be celebrated, you are going to be tolerated. And if you are tolerated in a place that you expect to be celebrated, you are going to leave frustrated. And we got a whole lot of people that are frustrated because they feel like they are tolerated instead of being celebrated. And all you had to do was check your name on the guest list. And if they want me to show up, I'm going to show up and I'm going to bring all of Jesus with me. But if they don't want me, it's probably because they don't want him. And if they don't want him, they can't and don't deserve me. Many churches are failing the people that attend, and I hope that we have not been guilty of this. But if we have, I apologize. We see churches that are attempting to disciple the unsaved. We are asking them to get involved in ministry and help us reach out and do all of these things, and they have still not made the great confession. And we have tried to move them to the Great Commission, and they have not made the great confession. That's why at Living Way, we are not going to ask you to be saved and to fill out a box. We are going to call you out of your place of comfort. We are going to call you to a place of holiness. We are going to call you to a place of redemption. We are going to be the church that says, without Jesus, there is no future. Without Jesus, there is a real place called hell that you're going. But God so loved the world that he made a plan and sent his only son. We're not condemning you. You were condemned already, but we are here to throw you a lifeline and say, hey, before we can fulfill the Great Commission, we need you to make the great confession. That's why a few weeks ago when the young man came at 5 o'clock on a Monday to be baptized, there was no way I was putting him in that water until I knew he had made the great confession. Because baptism without confession, you're just getting wet. It might as well be hot tub time. This is not a moment of spiritual calisthenics where we march you into something so we can get our numbers and say, we had this many people baptized in 2024. What does all of that mean if there's no confession? Confession leads to commission. You must make the great confession before you fulfill the great commission. You must answer the great calling before you fulfill the great commission. You must do the great commandment before you fulfill the great commission. Matthew 22, verse 14, I love this. And I wasn't going to give her credit, but she's sitting here, so I have to. It's not a Wednesday night. Pastor Mandy said this many years ago, so I'll give her credit. I'm going to do like Bishop Jake said. Bishop Jake said, when I quote somebody, he said, they get credit the first time I say it. So-and-so, I heard so-and-so say this. He said, the second time I say it, it's I heard somewhere. He said, by the third time I say it, it's like I got it in my time of prayer with Jesus. Praise God. Matthew 22, 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody's called. Even if they say they don't know God, they have not heard. They have not finely tuned their ear. God will show up. God will pull on their heart. God will send them somebody. God will cause them to see a sponsored post on social media. He will do all he can to make sure that everybody hears that call. Everybody is invited, but few are chosen. Not everybody is chosen. Check this out, though, church. But everybody can be chosen. See, because this looks like God is disqualifying people. This looks like God is playing favorites. But this is what Mandy said years ago. You can choose to be chosen. You know who God chooses? That's where Mandy's statement ended. All of this is from God now. Just had to make that clear. I don't want to get on Facebook and y'all give her credit for the next 15 minutes, praise God. No, that's all from Jesus. You can choose to be chosen. You know what that means, church? That means God bases who he chooses based on what they choose. So when we choose Jesus, Jesus chooses us. Now, what are we talking about? Chooses us. Chooses us for purpose. Chooses us for the great things that he's put in us to come out of us and make a difference. And there are so many that God is calling, saying, hey, I'm ready to use you. Hey, I'm ready to be a bigger part of your life, a bigger part of your future. And then we say, yeah, but maybe I'm not one of the chosen. No, you and I control who he chooses. Because we choose him back. Can I just encourage you and just show you some love today that on a Sunday morning with everything that's going on in the world, the fact that you stopped everything you were doing and said, I'm going to church. And I don't take that for granted, because when I was growing up, when me and Stephanie and Amy, we were drugged to church 3 or 4 times a week, whether we wanted to be or not. We were surrounded by adults that didn't want to be there. But here in 2024, the average person in America goes to church 1.3 times in a month. I don't even know how you go to service 0.3 times. Well, I do know. Some of y'all be coming in at like 12:15. That would be that 0.3. But some is better than none. So I don't take it for granted that you could be anywhere else today, but you chose. You know how many thousands of people passed by this church today at 10:30 and they kept driving? You know how many Living Way members are still in bed today? Are they in their pajamas with a cup of coffee watching us online thinking that they and what we are doing is the same thing? I've got news for you. Camera 2, you can zoom in on my face. What you are doing right now and what we are doing right now, it is not the same. The people in this room today, it hasn't been easy for you this week, this month, this year. Some of you are fighting devils and you said, I'm still choosing to worship today. Some of you are fighting demons. You still choose to come and offer God your best. It doesn't mean that we're here because our life is perfect. It means we are here because we are in relationship with a perfect God, and I will not choose anything else. I have chosen him. Which makes me a part of the few that are chosen. That are chosen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm chosen. God is not playing favorites. God is not only selecting a few. God chooses for a great purpose those that choose him to fulfill a great purpose. Before Jesus says, go to the world in Matthew 28 and Matthew 11, he says, come unto me. Remember, God will call us to send us. But before the calling and commissioning, there must be a transformation. I'm gonna spend the last couple minutes I have talking about the three types of people in this world. And the three types of people in this world, they can be church folk, they can be unbelievers, they can be atheist, agnostic, they can be leaders, they can be pastors, whatever. All of us fall in these three types of people. Remember, when Jesus gives the Great Commission, he is sending people out. Number one, we have people, those who went and were never sent. That's a problem. It's a problem for me to talk with pastors that after talking with them for 5 minutes, you realized that they were never sent, but they went anyway. that it was just an easier way because they can hold a microphone and say a few words and put a sermon together, that it was easier working 30 or 45 minutes a week than to go get a real job. Let's not take it to the pastors. Let's just talk about believers. People that show up and God's not in it. And then we have the nerve to blame God when it doesn't work out right, when God said, hey, you think you were commissioned? You still haven't lived out the great confession, the great calling, and the great commandment. I would never put the great commission on you until you have agreed to the first three. Those who went but were never sent. These are the rogue, the parking lot prophets. They are the called but not chosen. They could put on a show but lack substance. Probably talented but definitely not anointed. And the problem is when I read you that description, we all have somebody we're thinking about right now. And if you're me, I've got about 50 people I'm thinking about right now. People that would be a better service for the kingdom of God if they were to step off of a platform, off of a pulpit, and to just go get a 9-to-5 and come to church, sit down, and be taught for a season. Those who went and were never sent. Number two, let's talk about it. Those who were sent, but they never went. I think that's probably where most of us are. And I say us. I wonder how many times, let me just talk about me. I wonder how many times I have prayed for something and God is saying, the answer to your prayer is where I sent you. But you never went. And your blessing sometimes, come on church, is not going to show up there. Here, it's going to show up there. It's going to show up in that place of obedience, in that place of trust. Remember when God gave Abraham the Abrahamic blessing? Blessed will you be coming in and going out in the city, in the fields. Blessed the fruit of your loins. Blessed are your children's children's children. All of these things. None of that happened where Abraham was. It was happening and was promised to happen where God was sending him. So my question for you, church, is this. Why are you still where you're at? Where was the last place that God told you to go or told you to do, and you've just been sitting? You know, one of the worst places us as believers can be is sitting in a sent season. Sitting when God said, no, now it's time to move. Now it's time to grow. Now it's time to press the envelope. Now it's time to push kingdom. Now it's time to use the gifts. Now it's time to walk in the anointing. And we're just sitting there saying, well, God, when you do this and you, and God's like, I've already done everything that needs to be done. I've sent you. I just need you to go. So what does sent but never went look like? These are believers, but they're weak. They count the cost, but they won't pay the price. They are called but have made other choices. They continually change their minds. They're what James would call double-minded. They are definitely anointed but waste their anointing. They sacrifice their calling on the altar of convenience. They break the alabaster box and Jesus isn't even in the room. You know the only reason that Mary and her breaking of the alabaster box wasn't a waste? Because it was done in the presence of Jesus, for Jesus, on Jesus. Can I encourage somebody today to stop breaking the alabaster box for random people? Stop breaking and going through broken seasons for people that do not and cannot put you back together. Then the third, and I hope that there's some of us in this room today, and if not, this is where we're growing and going to. Those who were sent and went. These are the believers, the followers of Christ, the disciples of Christ. They are the ones that don't have to, they want to. They are the ones that have heard from God and are doing whatever it takes to advance the kingdom. They are the ones who have forsaken their will and have embraced the will of the Father. Matthew 28, verse 16, I've got one more moment left. The 11 disciples, going back to our original text, left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Sounds a lot like church in America. We fill buildings with worshipers and doubters. And you say, well, what about worshiping and doubting? You might have the posture of worship, but you can't worship and doubt at the same time. You might have a hand uplifted, but that's just a hand uplifted. You can't worship and doubt at the same time. In this moment, Jesus has resurrected. He's getting ready to ascend to heaven. And the disciples came. They saw him. They worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Listen to this, church. When God commissions and calls, when God commissions and calls us to do great things, there's always going to be doubt present. Not in you, but in other people. You sure God said that? You sure God did that? You sure God's calling you to do? How many of you have ever dealt with that? People have doubted what God has told you about your life. Remember, he didn't ask them for their co-signature on what he's called you to do. So they don't have to. Sometimes the doubters remind me I'm right where I need to be because I know I've heard from God. Verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Before Jesus gives the Great Commission, he reminds the disciples who he is. And this is what God gave me late last night as I was going through my notes, and God just began, and I started, when he starts speaking to me and the Spirit opens up like that, I can't even type fast enough because I still type like this. So I get a note card and I just start writing bullet points as quick as I can and talking about authority. Matthew 8:9 tells us about the Roman centurion. He said, I am a man who understands authority. Remember what he says this in response to. Jesus says, you need your servant healed. He said, I'll go to your house and heal him. He said, you don't need to go to your house. Just send your word. He said, because you're a man of authority. I am a man of authority. He said, I understand it. I'm under it. I have it. Listen to what he says now. I say to this servant, go. And he goes. I say to another servant, come to me. And he comes to me. I say to another servant, do this. And he does it. What I love about this text, church, is 2 or 3 years before Jesus looks into the eyes of 11 disciples and tells them to go, there's a Roman that had not been through Jewish school. There's a Roman man that was more of a political figure than a spiritual figure. And he says this, I understand authority. And what I really love, and this is what God showed me late in the midnight hour last night. He said, Jesus, I know all about the Great Commission and you haven't even given the Great Commission. 3 years later, he would look at his 11 disciples. If I could encourage you with this, before you do something big for Jesus, remind yourself how big Jesus is. Jesus said, I've been given authority, but Luke 9:1 says that Jesus gathered his disciples and he gave them authority. Gave them power and authority to cast out devils and to heal all diseases. Stand on your feet. Verse 19. Here's the Great Commission. I'm going to tell one on me. And this is why I love these series and just like an onion, just layer after layer after layer. Say, Pastor, why do we do series? We do series because if we treat God like we treat anything else, we need repetitious hearing and learning. We need a point driven home. I know that's how it is for me. And I've always grown up thinking the Great Commission was one statement, go. Go to the world, carry the gospel, carry Jesus. Go, go, go. The Great Commission is actually 5 commands. We could do an entire series just on the Great Commission. I'm going to go through them here in 60 seconds. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Number one, God says, go to the world. After you've made the great confession, and you've answered the great calling, and you fulfill the great commandment, God says, now you're in a position to go. You can represent me as a commissioned man or woman of God with authority to go to the world. What do we go to the world to do? To make disciples. So the first thing we do is we go. The second thing we do is we make disciples. All of these are action verbs and action words. Go, make. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is so much discord and disagreement over how to baptize. Are we baptizing in the name of Jesus or in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I'm going to say this as loud and as clear as I can. The act of baptism, because you follow Jesus, that is the main point of baptism. So if you were raised in this denomination that said, we got to say the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or we got to be in this denomination, I was raised this, that says, got to be Jesus' name only. I just want you to be baptized because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And I said that to preface what I'm about to say. He said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's only one name. Jesus. Jesus. If I show up, which I have before, representing my dad in a business deal, I don't say, my father sent me. Because they're going to be like, who's your daddy? I say, Steve Fender sent me. When we baptize here at Living Way, we do it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but that name is Jesus. He says, go. He said, make. He said, baptize. Then I love this next thing, and this is where Living Way is lacked. If I could be transparent and honest, but we are getting ready to move into overdrive. I had meetings this week about this. Teach the new disciples. He said, don't just reach them. Don't just baptize them and move them to the side so you can reach and baptize the next. Train them, teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. And this is the last thing. So go, make, baptize, teach. And then the last thing is a self-reflective thing. He said, and be sure of this. One translation says, remember, be confident. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember that Jesus never forsakes us. I'm done. He said, I want you to go. I want you to make. I want you to baptize. I want you to teach. Remember that all of the greatness of confession, calling, commandment has led us to this place. But if you ever feel like, why me, Jesus? I don't think I can. Just remember that the way I'm with you now, I will always be with you. The voice you hear now will always be speaking to you. The power you feel now, even if you can't feel it, it's there. And so the altar call is probably the easiest one I've ever given. All of us are called to go. But before you go, I need you to come to Jesus. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's for the 100th time. Maybe you said, hey, I'm having some Simon Peter type issues in my life. I'm in one day and out the next day, and I'm high and low, and sometimes I'm all about it and sometimes I'm not. We've been there. Can I encourage you, church? No one in this room is perfect. We all fall short. We all need a Savior. We all need that help from God from time to time. And if you're like me, you need it every single day. And in those moments that I make it about what it's not, God reminds me, hey, I've put authority in you. I've given you anointing to go to the world, to reach, to make disciples, to baptize, to disciple and teach them, but I need you to remember, I'm with you. You are not alone. I'm going to end with this story, and this is not in my notes, but I just thought about it when I said you might be alone. I hope that you don't have to come to church by yourself. I hope that you bring your children, that your spouse, friends. But I do want to encourage you, if you come by yourself, keep coming by yourself. Because you're not really by yourself. Jesus is with you. And the first moment you show up at Living Way, you've got a whole new family that we're ready to do life with you and cry with you and celebrate with you and laugh with you. I went to a conference or spoke at a conference this last month in El Paso, 1,400 18 to 30 year olds, a young adults conference. Registered. They paid to be there, 1,400. I've never been in an atmosphere like that. And they got a really cool concept. and it's Team Solo. They advertised this to the nation. They were from all over the nation, converged on El Paso of all places. But if you register as Team Solo, Team Solo sits together, they eat together, they hang out together, they worship together, they receive the word together, they go to the after party together. Team Solo really is for about 60 seconds. Because once you find out you're not on your own and you're not by yourself, and there's lifelong relationships out of this conference the last 3 years that have been built. Can I just remind you that you're not alone? And the quicker you realize that Jesus has your back, better than that, he has your front and your sides. The quicker we realize that, we're going to get to a healthier place of, all right, God, I can go because you're going with me. I can do it because I'm not doing it on my own. If you're in this place today and you'd like to join some of these brothers and sisters, man, side to side, God bless you. God bless you for your faith. God bless you for this step, this moment. Some of you in this altar, maybe you need to make that great confession today. You've never said yes to Jesus. This is your moment. If I could be glaringly clear and very blunt to you, without Jesus, there is no future eternally, and honestly, there's no future here without Christ. You will always be a casualty of this world, but when you say yes to Jesus, you now have the answer. You now have a power. You go from not just called, but chosen. Man, I'm so excited because I know if I were to take my last breath here, I'll take my first breath there. But while I'm here, there's a great commission. If you've never said yes to Jesus, or maybe you said yes to Jesus at a youth camp or when you were growing up or two years ago or maybe in this altar a year ago, but you haven't lived it out, this is a moment for you to confess Jesus again. Rededicate, or for the first time, give your life to Christ and accept him into yours. If that's you, our pastoral team, our prayer team is going to begin to pray. Just tell them, hey, I need to be saved. Or better yet, you can wave me down right now. We will send somebody to help you pray that prayer. But if you're in this house today and you'd like to be baptized in water, if you're in this house today and you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you've got a bad doctor's report, if you've got an addiction, if you've got problems in your relationships, in your family, in your kids, this is a moment for you to surrender all, total surrender to Christ. It's not too late for you. If you're still breathing, God's got a plan. The Great Commission is still in effect. As this worship team leads us in worship, I'm going to step off this platform. I'm going to add my prayer to our team and to your life. But know this right now. This is an individual response to Jesus. This is your Jesus moment. This can be a Saul to Paul Damascus moment in your life where things forever change because you allow Jesus into your life in a brand new way. Let's worship. Let's pray.